Hello and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name's John, and with me as always is Steve. How are you doing?
John, I'm great. How's it going?
Good, good. We're lucky we have the CEO and co-founder of Stably.io, Corey Wong, with us this week on the podcast because we had a bunch of news come out of the OCC in the past few weeks, months on stablecoins. So it's a great time to have Corey on the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the show, John and Steve.
First, tell us a little bit about stablecoins and what you see with that right now and what Stably.io is doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So a stablecoin is a digital currency, or you can consider it a type of cryptocurrency whose value is pegged to something in real life that is some sort of asset, financial asset in real life that is considered stable. Usually that would be, you know, the US dollar. Some people would consider gold a type of stable currency, right? So there's many ways to peg the value of these stable coins to the value of whatever it is supposed to represent in real life. And what we like to do, our approach is to actually back the digital currency with collateral in real life that is managed by a trustee that's, you know, transparent and audited and fully regulated. We think that's the best way for us to bridge that, you know, value from the real world to the digital world and maintain the best form of stability possible.
So Corey, what is the upside of transacting in a stablecoin versus the asset that it's pegged to? Like, why couldn't I just use dollars to transact instead of using the stablecoin?
Yeah, absolutely. So the US dollar right now, you know, in, let's say, in cash form, right? You can obviously use it to spend at stores or purchase stuff, pay your friends or whoever. In digital form, traditional forms, we have your banks that offer, you know, wire and ACH transfer. You have PayPal and also Venmo that provides like another digital layer on top of these banking infrastructure to facilitate transfer, right? But typically, a lot of these transfer and movement of money is still conducted on a centralized ledger that is operated by a centralized entity, like a bank, that is oftentimes subject to holidays, operating hours, so on and so forth. And also the speed of transfer oftentimes is not as fast as one would like it to be. You know, nowadays we think that instant money transfer would be a thing, but, you know, oftentimes, right, you send an ACH transfer to someone, they won't get it until two or three business days later. You send a wire transfer to someone, if you, you know, don't meet the cutoff time, the wire transfer won't be processed until the next business day. Sometimes international transfer get lost in limbo and, you know, get won't arrive until several days later. So so moving money around, as, you know, as simple as it sounds, it's still not a, you know, a 100%. We don't have a 100% efficient solution for it. And, you know, the remittance industry is very huge. Remittance, both remittance and payments. And, you know, we want to move toward a world where, you know, we can have transaction done near instantaneously and also for as low cost, for the lowest cost as possible. And this is why, you know, stablecoin technology powered by the blockchain, this is where they step in and fulfill their role.
Yep. Yeah. It's famously faster to fly a suitcase of money from London to New York than to actually transfer that via ACH, right? So it's a really intractable hard problem. So is that the segment or the use case that you're most going after, is sort of that cross-border payments and the remittance space?
We have two lines of business. One is asset tokenization, where we work with traditional enterprises and businesses that have unique assets, financial assets such as fiat currency or commodities, or you know, or if they have a large user network that they want to transform into financial value that they can harvest through a stablecoin. We work with those guys to tokenize those assets. And then the other side of our business, we provide a what I consider a business account 2.0, basically what we call an alternative global borderless business account that anybody can open anywhere in the world. Any business can open anywhere in the world. But it's based in the U.S., regulated under U.S. Laws, and it can custody both U.S. dollar and cryptocurrency and stablecoin. And you'll soon you'll be able to buy and sell cryptocurrency, stablecoin, as well as earn high interest from stablecoin lending from that account. And with that account, we also have a feature where it allows merchants to accept card payments and have the payments settle into their account same day with stablecoin. So you know how traditionally merchants won't receive payments when you know their card processor deposited 2 or 3 days later, right? Via ACH, we can provide the same card processing solution with similar pricing and have the funds settle to you same day via stablecoin.
That's awesome. And how quick is that conversion process to go from stablecoin to a fiat currency like say dollar or euro?
If it's so right now we only support US dollar stablecoin, but from our stablecoin to be converted to US dollar is instantaneous. As soon as it hits your account, you can instantly turn it into dollar and withdraw it into your own personal bank account via ACH or wire. For a lot of underbanked merchants out there, this is a very attractive solution because they don't have existing card processing solutions. And this not only provide them card processing solution, it also provides them a same day cash settlement as well as a friendly borderless business account that they can utilize.
So how are you guys developing? What are some of the obstacles to getting this further rolled out and accepted? Are people kind of hesitant when they hear that it's kind of crypto or blockchain related?
Yeah, well, that's kind of like the stigma around the crypto space, right? It helps this year that Elon Musk is, promoting Bitcoin and Dogecoin, right? But for the most part, most people that are in the traditional space, if they're not, being more open-minded, they still have some sort of stigma about cryptocurrency and how it's involved with criminals and all that. That's when we step in and, demonstrate to them that we only work, our partners, our entire infrastructure is regulated through our partners, Prime Trust, which is a Nevada charter non-depository banking institution. It's a trust company regulated by the state of Nevada and also follows federal FinCEN. In fact, any stablecoin that we issue is actually sponsored by Prime Trust. They are the regulated convertible virtual currency administrator under U.S. law that sponsors our tokens and allows the issuance and redemption. And so we basically provide technology to Prime Trust, and Prime Trust uses technology to provide these services. And everything is completely 100% compliant and regulated. Most people are not aware that, there's already something that regulates stablecoins in the United States called Convertible Virtual Currency Administration. It doesn't say specifically stablecoin, but, a stablecoin falls under that same framework. So as long as you follow those guidelines, you're compliant with the U.S. law.
So, I was mentioning that OCC, those rules where they're mentioning banks could hold stable coins now or be nodes on networks. Does that make things easier to expand your business, or does that just make it more likely that you'll have more competitors?
It actually helps my business. Right now, I'm running a lot of outbound campaigns to other fintechs and financial institutions that are looking to create their own brand of stablecoins, so we can step in and provide our technology and infrastructure to help make that happen. We've already worked with a lot of high-profile enterprise clients. One of them is a precious metal dealer from Canada that has billions of dollars in revenue every year, and we're working with them to tokenize a nine-figure amount. Some of a physical gold that's sitting at a vault somewhere. That project is going to launch within this month or next month. So some exciting news coming out soon. We also work with, for example, another Bahamian bank. They're interested in creating a stable coin that is pegged to the backed by the Bahamian dollar. And the Bahamian dollar is already pegged by US dollar. So there's a lot of interesting synergies between what we do and what we can provide for the Bahamas. So these are kind of like the type of clients that we are actively pursuing. And we don't see them as competitors. We see them as clients, right? We provide this technology for them, and they can utilize it for their own customer and to even acquire a new segment of customer.
So what's the most unexpected or unusual asset that you've converted into a stable coin?
Well, not everything we tokenize is a stable coin, right? I actually don't like the term stable coin because it could be confusing to some people. I like to say, you know, a dollar token or a gold token or a real estate token. When people say stablecoin, they really mean like, you know, fiat-backed digital currencies, right? For us, the most interesting thing that we probably tokenize is outside of like hard physical asset that you can touch, probably one of our enterprise client is a, what is it? They are a creator of a miniature model product of like, you know, tanks, airplane, building, ships. And it's like a hobby thing, you know? And they approach us and say, hey, we want to turn, you know, our reward programs, our customer loyalty program into a token. So we're working with them to basically tokenize that program right now. So, you know, it's not exactly a physical asset, but it's like, you know, a promo reward program that, you know, a company has that is real, that is, you know, already running, but they want years of, you know, decentralized finance into that program in order to bring more value to their users, as well as potentially, you know, bring more users.
Do they want to avoid fraud also?
No, it's not so much as to avoid it. I mean, you could argue that it could be to prevent fraud, as said, you know, if you buy a product and it doesn't have this digital token with it to verify that it is authentic, then yeah, it could be a fraud. But that could be another play with us as well that we haven't really considered. But there hasn't really been much of an issue with that because, well, there are some issue with that with this one. Maybe that's something we can bring up with them. Thanks for bringing that up to me.
Yeah, we're all about supporting the fintechs. So this is an interesting area, and you're getting into some interesting use cases. How did you end up starting Stably?
And so I was hosting a meetup for algorithmic trading. David showed up and he actually taught me some new that I didn't know, that I wasn't aware of before. So, you know, I thought the guy was pretty smart. And so we became very good friend. In 2017, we were both, you know, trading stocks and crypto together with our algorithms. And then we did really well that year because 2017, everything was going up. This was the year that I finally focused back on blockchain, not just for the trading aspect, but, you know, for the actual technology behind it, the reason on, you know, why this is going to be like the future, right? And so that year, after we made like a decent amount of money for ourselves at the end of 2017, David and I said, why don't we leave our jobs and start a company, do a startup in the blockchain space and start tokenizing assets, because this is what we thought was going to be the future, right? And the easiest thing to tokenize at that point was the US dollar. Right, you can tokenize it and turn it into a stable coin. And there would be a decent market for it because there wasn't that many stable coins around. And so we left our job. David turned down his Google software engineer offer for like 220 grand or something to my co-founder.
Is his mom still tearing her hair out?
His mom is probably, well, I don't know, maybe his mom is like really proud of him for being a multimillionaire CTO now. So
yeah, good.
Right, pros and cons. But we left our job. I started fundraising. So we closed a $500,000 seed round in April 2018. So off races we go. That same year, we team up with Prime Trust. We pitched Prime Trust about this idea and got them to agree to work with us. And by the end of the year, by the end of December, we launched the product. We launched USDS, our first stablecoin. But when we first launched USDS, we really just intended it to be a, you know, like a model product, a very MVP model product that we can then take to enterprises and banks and big institutions and pitch them that, hey, we can build you something like this as well, right? We can do this for you. This is tokenization as a service. So that was really the plan. Lo and behold, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, Binance, reached out to us and said, hey, we saw that you just released a stablecoin. Do you guys want to list it on our exchange? And I was like, holy cow, this is a big deal, right? This is like, you know, the NASDAQ reaching out and asking, you know, if you want to if they can list your penny stock on it. So it's like a giant deal to us. So obviously I say, yeah, I want to get listed on Binance. Let's make it happen. But they told me that, hey, there was another stable coin out there that was competing with us to get listed on Binance. But they wouldn't tell me who it was. Mm-hmm. Later on, I found out it was Gemini Dollar, the stable coin from the Winklevoss twins.
Wow.
You guys know the Winklevoss twins, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So they were applying to list on Binance at the same time that I was. And honestly, by the time I found out it was them, I didn't really have that much hope about winning that spot because, you know, they're billionaires and all. By some crazy twist of luck, I got the deal and we listed on Binance instead of Gemini.
And, so the next movie is going to be about you beating the Winklevoss twins?
I hope not. I'm pretty camera shy.
Social Network too?
We'll see. But, you know, we got listed on Binance instead of the Winklevi. And, you know, it's not like, you know, they're still around. They're still doing well. So, but, you know, we had a lot of the publicity and the brand reputation and recognition from the industry from that because, you know, not that many stablecoin get listed on Binance. Up until that point, all the stablecoins that were listed on there, they've all raised hundreds of millions of dollars of funding. Or even the smallest, the one that raised the least funding on there, I think they raised a total of like $30 or $40 million. At that point, I had like, you know, less than $1 million left in my bank account from all the venture capital rounds. So we haven't even raised that much money. Yeah, it was a pretty amazing achievement that we managed to pull off, and it paid off, right? It didn't pay off in the sense that, you know, our USDS stablecoin grew and became, you know, successful like the other one. The other ones were already there. They were bigger, much more well-funded. And so obviously the market just gravitated toward the biggest US dollar stablecoin because they have more liquidity and volume, which to us was kind of natural. And we expected that from the start. We didn't, and you know, intend to go directly compete with, like, you know, USDC or USDC or all these large players, and then start reaching out to more enterprise and institutional clients and tell them, hey, you know, we're one of the top stablecoin company in the world. We're on Binance now. Our reputation is like really amazing. We would love to, you know, create a asset-backed token for you. You have some gold, I can tokenize it for you. Silver, I can do it for you. You know, you got real estate, let's talk about it. And so we score some really big clients. Our biggest client to this date is, you know, that Canadian precious metal dealer. We're tokenizing hundreds of million dollar worth of precious metal with them. And we have plans to tokenize not just gold, but also silver, palladium, platinum, rhodium, all that kind of stuff. So, and that's just precious metal. You know, now we're working with, like you mentioned earlier, a very cool, interesting space. Like, for example, recently we launched a US dollar stablecoin with Zatara. Zatara is a fintech in the United States that focuses on the esports market. And this stablecoin, which is called ZUSD, it will be targeted at the millennials esport gaming community. It will be sponsored by a lot of the large esport brands. So, hey man, I'm like 29-year-old. I love gaming. You know, that would to me was cool as hell. I was very honored to be involved in that deal. So you know, I'm looking forward to more and more interesting deals like this that's gonna come soon. My prediction is, you know, as time progresses, you're gonna see more and more large traditional brands coming into this space. They can benefit so much from it. From if anyone from like Walmart to Costco to Nike to Shell gas station, Chevron, Alaska Airlines, whatever. If they issue their own brand of digital currency, not only does it lower their payments expenses that they have to pay to Visa and MasterCard, they also get to increase their brand value, their marketing value. And on top of all of this is gift card 2.0 to them, basically. As soon as a client, you know, their customer buys a stablecoin that's like, say, you know, a Chevron stablecoin, right? As soon as their client buys a Chevron stablecoin, they can spend the Chevron stablecoin at Chevron for gas. So to Chevron, as soon as the client buys a stablecoin, that's booked revenue to them already. But the thing with this gift card 2.0 is it is borderless. It is open. It is powered by the blockchain. You can send it anywhere. You can trade it. You can lend it. You can earn interest from it. You can integrate it into decentralized finance application and do so many different things with it. The sky's the limit, right? So this is why I think in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, you're going to see a lot of branded stable coins and digital currency that's going to hit the market. And let me tell you, when Black Friday hits, oh man, the promos and all these coins and tokens are gonna go crazy. The arbitrage opportunity is gonna be nuts. So it's gonna be a crazy market.
Going back to the gift card notion, which I find actually that's a really interesting use case that I hadn't thought of before. So do you face the same constraints that other blockchain based systems do in terms of throughput and being able to process a lot of transactions, or because of what you're doing will be on a smaller scale if it's, you know, company specific, would you not face those same issues with, say, transaction times like you see with Bitcoin, where it could take much longer than a transaction going through, say, the Visa rail or the MasterCard rail?
Yes, precisely. Speed and cost, very two important factors. That's why, you know, we don't work strictly with just one or two blockchain. We are blockchain agnostic. We build our stable coins and we build tokens for our clients on the blockchains that we, us and them, view as, you know, most beneficial and make the most sense for our business. Some clients might prefer a chain that has more functionality as far as smart contract and programming goes. Some clients prefer to have speed and cheaper costs and don't care about extra features. So those clients are more payment use cases, right? And so we partner with various blockchains from Tezos to Stellar to DigitalBits, which are all faster and cheaper than the Ethereum and the Bitcoin blockchain. So, you know, there's no limit to, you know, what kind of use case we can tackle, because technology is not the limit here. You know, blockchain technology, there are many, many different blockchains out there, with all of them, you know, have different uniqueness and features and abilities. And if you want faster and cheaper, we got them. You know, we got partners that are more than happy to work together with the enterprise to explain why this blockchain is the right fit for them and how it could improve their business.
And from if we follow that gift card idea, right, the merchant specific gift card idea to its logical end, from a user perspective, is there a way for me to centralize all the stable coins that I have, say for Chevron and ExxonMobil and Trader Joe's, or will I have to have separate wallets for each of them in the way that I have separate gift cards for each of them?
Depending on, you know, what on the blockchain that these stable coins are built on, if a lot of them are going to be built on Ethereum, for example, right? Then you just need a simple ERC-20 Ethereum wallet, and you would be able to custody a lot of these. But if say like Chevron want their stablecoin to actually be a lot faster than Ethereum at a transaction speed, Chevron might choose to build theirs on Stellar, and then you would have to get a Stellar wallet in order to hold Chevron stablecoin, right? So there would be, I think initially there would be some fragmentation. But then some business, or maybe it will be even stably, will come out with something that will aggregate all those different brand tokens together, and in a nice and easy, simple to use UI for the customer, and you know that'll be basically the next step. We need to get to step one first before we get to step two, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Give them a little time, Steve. Yeah. So I guess that might be answering the question of what kind of technology or development you'd like to see that would make things easier, or that would move this along. Or is the technology there and it's just kind of implementing?
Right now, the technology is definitely there. I think what would be very beneficial is regulation. There are regulations, better laws, better, more clarity from the regulators on what is permissible and what's not, so that, you know, businesses can have certainty in whether or not they can apply this technology for what they do. I can tell my clients that, hey, there's already CVC administration laws in the United States that would allow you to do this, but then they would still, you know, have some hesitation about it because, oh, you know, the government still hasn't officially said anything about stable coin. They only said banks can, like, you know, custody stable coin, but like, you know,
right,
it's like Facebook or whatever is still facing some scrutiny from Congress and all that stuff, so that, you know, there's still some hesitation from them. I need that clarity from the government. You know, the law already says, we already interpret the law as is, and you know, we believe that it allows us to do what we were doing, and you know, we're already doing it with a handful number of clients. But until the government step out and fully support stablecoin for the private sector and for enterprises, you know, until then, players like Amazon, eBay, like, you know, Shopify, all these big brands, you know, they won't risk it. You know, it's too much of a risk for them. But I think we're getting there, almost there. You know, it's the OCC announcement recently. That was a huge step in the right direction. I think within a few months and maybe a year or two here, we'll get that clarity that we need.
Yeah, it seems like when Facebook stepped in, there was a lot of a political pushback on this sort of thing. But, you know, a smaller guy like you doing stably can follow the existing rules, and you're not getting that regulatory and political pushback, which can let you grow and catch up while they're kind of held back for a little while.
Yeah, you just don't have the baggage. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, speaking of political, let's pivot the conversation a little bit. That's actually one of enterprise quote unquote clients target clients, political parties. In the future, we predict that within the next year to 2 years, probably 3 years top, there's gonna be, you know, blockchain or DeFi finance political movements, or even possibly revolution that's gonna take place at some place in the world. If the issuance of money is now no longer a monopoly of the government, right? Now the technology has enabled literally any private enterprise or any individual or any, like, you know, organization that has a community, that has a network, right? To basically issue their own brand of currency, payment solutions for their own ecosystem or finance, whatever objective they want to do. Now they have the ability to do that. We're starting to see, you know, company like Stably is helping, you know, clients like precious metal dealers and other banks and fintech companies to do this right now, esports and all. Oh, eventually political party is going to be next. And when political parties and political movement learn how to harness the power of DeFi, of decentralized finance to further their own goals and agenda, whew, man, well, we'll see some, I don't know, we might see a Democratic dollar and Republican dollar.
Oh, man. So you're going to sell the picks and shovels and you'll profit either way.
I don't want to dictate where the market goes because I think that's the title. Yeah. I like to see, you know, I like to offer the market what it wants and, you know.
Where you offer a benefit, sure.
Yeah, and that's if it wants it. If it doesn't want it, then there's no need for me to do anything.
Yeah, I see on your roadmap down the line, you're kind of on that same path of rebundling that we've talked about where fintechs start to do everything, like Stably loans, Stably wealth, offering all kinds of services down the line, huh?
A neobank, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the future. Really, our tagline here is bridging value from the real world to the digital world. You know, and any way that we can do that, we will. And we're actually in the process of acquiring a Washington State trust charter to become a regulated trust company ourselves. And with a trust charter, you know, we'll become a regulated custodian. We'll be a regulated bridge that, you know, takes value from the real world to the digital world ourselves.
And then you'll have to do all that compliance in-house, the KYC, AML, and all that stuff.
Yep. We'll have to take care of all that ourselves. We'll, you know, that's it's part of growing up, right?
Responsibilities, yes.
Yeah.
But are there any fintechs out there that you see doing interesting stuff?
I guess because I'm already in the stablecoin space, I'm a little bit more biased toward my sector.
Sure.
But there are projects out there that, you know, I used to be a critic of these projects, but now I've grown to be more open-minded and be willing to tolerate experimentation, right? I mean, I'm not doing it, but I'm just watching other people do it and it seems to work. So who am I to say the market is wrong, right? But there are algorithmic stablecoins out there. These are projects that create stable coins that are not backed by anything or partially backed by something, right? And, you know, they would be regulated by a smart contract that would attempt to manipulate either the supply or demand of this token in order to help maintain that quote-unquote stability. And what I've seen originally when I first read about these theoretical product, right, I didn't think they would work. You know, this sounded like something that could very easily blow up and it wouldn't have like sustainability. But now that I've seen a lot of these projects actually launch and gone live and how the market is currently receiving them, Granted, it's only been a year and a half so far, so we don't have that much data to judge whether or not this is long-term sustainable. But you know, a lot of these algorithmic stablecoins, they are doing okay. You know, if you're backed by a US dollar, you're like 100% stable. There's nothing is better than that. But if you're algorithmic, your stability is going to be a little bit more bootleg, right? It's going to be a little bit more jiggly. But you know, for what it's worth, look at the US dollar. What is it backed by? Nothing, right? It's backed by what, the nuclear arsenal of the United States? Sure, right? But on paper, it's backed by nothing, right? So that's what these guys are trying to do. They're using technology to create something of value from nothing. Historically, you would call that alchemy, but you know, these guys are basically blockchain alchemists of the 21st century.
Oh, right. Yeah, that sounds like a synthetic securities you can create with different derivatives combinations. So it behaves the same way as some underlying, and they're applying that to in an algorithm through a stablecoin. It's really interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, those are not algorithmics. Those are synthetics. Synthetics are, they're similar to CFDs, contract for difference, or futures contract even.
I have a question on your roadmap. Since we got the deck a few days ago, how much can you get into what you're hoping to build in 2020 in terms of the loans, the wealth, the API, and all this stuff? Can I ask about this, or is this more?
Yeah, so this year we're looking to work with more enterprise clients to launch more tokens for more asset classes. I'm trying to launch some real estate token this year. We got some leads that we're talking to that have some properties. We have some clients that have account receivables, because you know, their business, they have a lot of accounts receivable coming in. Normally they go to a factoring company to get cash out for their account receivables. But now they're talking to us to see if we can tokenize their account receivable and access that liquidity in the crypto market instead, to see if it's cheaper than factoring, right? Mm-hmm. So that's another really interesting use case that we're exploring. Tokenizing securities, right? But we have to do it like compliantly, right? That's something that we're exploring with Vertalo. That's one of the partners that we're talking to. They have a turnkey compliant and tokenization solution that can allow us and our client to tokenize securities and list them on regulated exchanges in the United States. I guess that's really the, you know, next steps for us, increasing our tokenized asset under management and get that trust charter, become a regulated company.
Awesome.
Sounds like you have plenty on your plate. You know, I don't know if you'll be able to have room to expand into new things. You'll be so busy tokenizing stuff, and you'll get so many new clients after being on our podcast.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I really look forward to that. Thank you.
yeah. Well, yeah, keep up the good work. It sounds really interesting and bringing some benefit to your better features, better stability, faster throughput, security. These all sound like good things. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you so much, John and Steve. It was a pleasure being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Corey.
Likewise.
Yep.
Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news, and thank you for listening.